This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a tremendous hour coming up for you guys. We've got some football to talk about. We've got some baseball to talk about. And we're going to be recapping what we saw in round number one of the NBA draft. So we've got a lot of things that are going on. It is always so much fun to be able to take a look this time of year. And it's always a lot of fun to be taking a look at what you're getting in terms of the sports calendar in general. As we've got ourselves 9 relatively solid baseball games. We'll be diving in there. By the way, if you bet on the LA Dodgers on Wednesday, you can give a big thanks to Max Muncy, who just hit a grand slam, and we'll look to do so in this hour. As we're going to be joined in 15 minutes by a man that does a tremendous job taking a look at the NFL, Matt Verderame. He does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated. We're going to be chatting with him about what we've all seen this offseason, some of the things that he's going to be taking a look at, teams that he's feeling bullish / bearish on, and you're going to be getting something new here on this show. As in 30 minutes, it's Greg's random NFL roulette preview, as we're going to be looking at all 32 teams the next 16 nights. You're going to get one in hour number two. You're going to get one in hour number three. So that's going to be fun. We're going to have Matt Verderame. Hopefully I got that correct. He's going to be joining me in 15 minutes. And then in 30 minutes, we're going to pick a team at random. Like, I used to be a big guy in high school. I used to make a bunch of lists over on random.org. We're going to fire up the generator. We're going to hope to hit no whammies. Actually, maybe if we do hit some whammies, that'll be a lot of fun, because that means that we are going to have some intrigue in general, and we'll give you guys thoughts on all these NFL teams. But first things first, we have to give ode to the best team in the business. That is everyone here at VSiN that does a great job of being able to put all these shows together. You've got my producer, Jared. He always sets me up for success. As everything was happening in the NBA draft in hour number one, which that was very wild to say the least, that the NBA draft dragged out as long as it did, but he did a great job alerting me with all the trades and all the transactions that were happening throughout the night. He did a tremendous job setting me up there. And then Corey, he's our man with boots on the ground here in lovely Las Vegas. He always does a great job of making sure that I'm all getting situated. I have everything that I need to be able to run a successful show. So these two guys, they do some absolutely tremendous work. If you're watching on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, what have you, the toughest job here at the network might be making me look halfway presentable in a video / moving picture format. Jaren's, along with Alexis, they do an absolutely amazing job of being able to undertake that task and make that everything look clean. And if you're watching on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, all the graphics that you see on the screen, they do a great job with that as well, making sure that the odds are all up to date. And then if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, if you're listening over on VSiN.com, terrestrial radio, whatever, you might be listening after the fact. Every single hour of every single show is on VSiN.com/podcast or wherever your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, search for the VSiN Bets Vets feed. As Chris, he does an amazing job on that front, making everything sound clean. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They do such a great job because they do such a great job. That means I need to be on point with a little bit of everything with my picks and additionally what we all got here in round one of the NBA draft. No shocker that Cooper Flagg went number one overall. Like, if you didn't have that one on your bingo board, I don't know what you were looking at tonight, and you were off to a rough start. Dylan Harper goes number two to the San Antonio Spurs. Very much a foregone conclusion. Was not at all surprised that VJ Edgecombe went number three to the 76ers. Con Canepo goes number four to the Hornets. The real intrigue was Ace Bailey, because he really didn't work out for anyone. I'm not sure what his process was. Like, he has a agent that is, like, not certified, and I wasn't sure what was going there, but the Jazz decided, you know what, we're going to go for it. We are going to take you, Mr. Bailey, at number five overall. And then Trey Johnson goes number six. A lot of people thought that he might creep into the top five. He does not, and much of that is because there were quite a few people that thought perhaps that you would have Bailey sliding outside of that top five. So he goes six, one of the fastest risers on the board. Jeremiah Fears certainly has a lot of talent, was rock solid over at Oklahoma. The turnover issues, they are very much there with him, though. He goes number seven over to the New Orleans Pelicans. Igor Demin, One of the bigger surprises of the first round, I'm not sure if I necessarily agreed with this one for the Nets, and they had five picks and they held on to all of them. He goes number 8. Number 9, Colin Murray-Boyles. I know that some people thought that this might be a little bit of reach. I love Colin Murray-Boyles. Guy does a little bit of everything. He was so good in getting South Carolina to the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago. I love me some Colin Murray-Boyles. He goes number 9 to the Toronto Raptors. And then Kamen Mulich. He was over at Duke. Nice big man. Rock solid. We saw what he was able to do in the Olympics, by the way. He goes number 10 to Houston. And then some hodgepodge things. Cedric Coward was one of the fastest risers in this draft process. I felt like it might have been a little bit of a reach by the Memphis Grizzlies at number 11 for Coward. I certainly see the upside. Keep in mind, this was a guy that just a few years ago, he was playing at the non-Division 1 level. Someone who came up from the Division 3 ranks, I can appreciate that, but Coward was also limited to fewer than 10 games this past season over at Washington State. Much of his success came at Eastern Washington, so very curious there. Tore it up at the workouts. Derek Queen, he gets traded to New Orleans, and he goes number 13. New Orleans trades a unprotected first-round pick to the Atlanta Hawks, and that pick might be very, very valuable down the line. I'm not quite sure there, but the Pelicans must feel very good about him, so they take him at number 13 overall. Carter Bryant, I'm never going to question the Spurs organization, but I never really saw with him over at Arizona. He goes 14, and then you have a few other hodgepodge guys like Yang Hansen. He's the 7'1" guy from China. He goes number 16 to the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm not sure what sort of grade you had on him. I did not have him going number 16. So very curious by the Grizzlies, especially with having Zach Edey on the roster, but Zach Edey getting injured towards back half of the season last year. So very fascinating to see what we get there. Did like it, Kasparis Yakusonis going number 20 to the Miami Heat. That just felt like a good fit in general. I absolutely love that one. And then Walter Clayton, he gets traded on over to Utah because for the Wizards and the Utah Jazz, they swapped the 18 and the 21 picks. Absolutely love that for the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz had themselves a nice night. And dare I say it as well, you actually had a relatively rock solid night as well for the Charlotte Hornets. They got Konkin up at 4, down at 29. They made the trade of Mark Williams on over to the Phoenix Suns, so they get their 29 pick, and they pick up Liam McNeely, who should not have fallen to 29. This guy was rock solid for UConn. Nice 6'7", do-it-all sort of player. Good pick by them. So the Hornets, they finally did something right. I'm sure that something will go horribly wrong in response to them doing something right, but good job to the Hornets, and we'll see if anything gets posted in terms of like day 2 odds. I'm right now not seeing them at any book right now, but if that does occur, we will let you know. And something else that we've got to let you know about is the VSiN betting splits that we have here at the network, because we get them straight from the source, both DraftKings and Circa. If you're looking at Circa and their splits, they take some of the biggest bets from the biggest professionals out there. Meanwhile, DraftKings, they give you a little bit more of a broader market perspective. That means that you're getting the actual action and where the money and the bets are going, not just the public money, but the wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every single game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. To be able to get VSiN's exclusive betting splits, you're able to get in for as low as $9.99 for your first month. That's over at VSiN.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And now we do need to take a look at some Major League Baseball that we are going to be getting on this Thursday. Not the most expansive of cards, and anything that I don't hit here on the show tonight, I also do our baseball podcast here at the network, The Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson. That's actually what it's called. It's called The Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson. It's one where you don't have to guess as to what the name is. It is very much to the point. So we got you guys covered there. But how about if we get you covered with this game, as we've got all but one game being day games in Major League Baseball. But I do think that this is the prime one of the day. It's the lone interleague game between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros. This is 967-968 on the card, with one Christopher Sanchez on the bump for the Phillies. And Hunter Brown is going to be on the bump for Houston. Houston is a pretty good size favorite, -138, -140, about +126, +128. That number on the Philadelphia Phillies, and right now that total is 7. I'm seeing a +128 out there. My minimum buy point on the Phillies is +128, but I'm going to be willing to go with it. With Hunter Brown, he has been incredible. 5 runs allowed across his last 5 starts, 188 ERA. He's getting north of 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been a shutdown guy. This has been a Houston Astros lineup, though, that has been in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Getting a bit more out of Jose Altuve, you've been able to get some good production out of Jeremy Pena, hitting darn near a 325. But I'm just a believer in Christopher Sanchez as well. Sub 260 ERA on the road. He is giving up a little bit north of 3 walks per 9 innings. That's been a bit suspect for him, but north of 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He does a nice job in terms of not giving up a lot of hard contact, less than home run per 9 innings. Biggest trepidation that you are going to have with the Phillies is this bullpen. Bullpen is outside the top 22 in terms of ERA. You've got Orion Kirkering who's giving you a sub-3 ERA. He's like the only guy in the roster that's giving you a sub-350 ERA right now, so that's not necessarily tremendous, but I mean, you have been able to get the offense to move the line. Only guy with a double-figure amount of homers on the team right now is Kyle Schwarber, who's been hitting some Schwar bombs all season long, 24 home runs, but you've got guys like Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, all hitting at least a 280. Turner has been able to give you some nice stolen bases. He does a nice job of, as well, being able to give you a little bit of pop with 9 home runs. You've been needing a little bit more at the catcher spot, especially with JT Realmuto not being as tremendous this year. But Realmuto is starting to find it a little bit more as well. And for Houston, some of those guys at the bottom lineup have been a little bit rough and just not getting a lot of on base out of Christian Walker along with Yennier Diaz. Both of these guys outside of a 290 with regards to on base percentage. That's been a little bit rough for them as well. So I look at this spot. I think that the 7 is just a skosh too low. Recognize that this is a really good pitching matchup, but I do think that the Phillies get to Hunter Brown just a little bit. I think that there's a bit of regression coming for him. And with the Phillies being able to get this big of a plus number with a guy in Christopher Sanchez that I really like, I do think that they get the job done, plus 128 or higher, looking at the Phillies, and I'm going to be taking a look at this total over as well. And coming up next, how about if we talk some NFL and get set for the upcoming season? Matt Verderam, he does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated. He joins me next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Matt Verderam aboard. He does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated, looking at this great game that we all know and love of football. I know that he's been gearing up for the start of the season. We're getting close to these teams being able to report. And Matt, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me, Matt. And Matt, just how have you been taking a look at the last few weeks in the NFL? And what have been some of the things that you've been looking for as these teams ramp up and start to get into camp? Because I do think that when it comes to the months of May and June, there might not be a ton that's going on the surface. But as we know, these teams, they're trying to get set up for success. And these are very important months for these teams to be able to have a good season.
Yeah, you know, I always look at OTAs, mini camp, as really important for teams that have new coaches and or quarterbacks. That's, you know, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, like those teams, they can roll the footballs out August 1st. They'll be fine. But, you know, some of these teams that especially are teams that might contend, like Minnesota with McCarthy. Yes, it's not technically new, but he's a new starter. You know, you look at a team like that, Dallas with Schottenheimer now running the show. You know, you look at some of these teams, you know, I don't know that the Raiders are going to be contending for a lot, but Geno Smith and Pete Carroll, you know, they're obviously coming in with a couple new real big faces. And then, you know, you look at even, you know, some of these other teams like the Steelers, they, you say, hey, look, and now they didn't have the luxury of having Rodgers there for a good portion of it. But, you know, these teams with new coaches, new quarterback, I think they really need to take advantage of this time to try to get up to speed compared to some of the other top tier teams in the league.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned the Steelers, because we were, when you were mentioning new quarterbacks, a little bit of change, that's the first scene that was coming to mind. A lot of places have the Steelers win total at an 8.5. As we know, Mike Tomlin has ever had a record below 500. How do you take a look at the Steelers team to where, in terms of talent alone, I think that Rodgers presents an upgrade from what you had in previous years. But at the same time, too, we all know that the circus is coming to town as well.
Yeah, like I think the line's right. I mean, I think they're about a 500 team. Because of Tomlin's history, I would take the over on it. Like, I think they're probably a 9-win team. Maybe they're 10-win team if everything breaks right. But, you know, listen, I mean,
I think that we lost Matt there for a second, so we're going to try to get reconnected with him in a second. I know that he was saying some interesting stuff about this bunch, and I mean, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, certainly a bunch where it's all about trusting in Mike Tomlin, in my opinion, because we know that our good friend in Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be making a little bit of a ruckus. We have a great track record with him being able to handle distractions with what he was able to do with Antonio Brown as well, but that's certainly a little bit of an issue. And Matt, I think that we've got you back on the line. Finish up your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think in the end, like, you know, I would take the Steelers over because Tomlin doesn't lose, you know, 9-10 games a year. He's never done it. But I do think with Rodgers, you're going to get both sides of it. You're going to get an upgraded quarterback. You're also going to get a guy who at times is going to cause, as you put it, a circus. And, you know, look, if things don't go well, he's not exactly going to lead the way. Like, he's not going to, Tomlin's going to have to lead the way. The defense is going to have to lead the way. And then Rodgers is going to kind of have to be managed with that. But is he better than Russell Wilson? Is he better than Justin Fields? Yeah, I think he is. So the Steelers will take the upgrade and try to win a playoff game for the first time in almost a decade.
Yep, absolutely. As Matt Verderam, he does great work over at Sports Illustrated. He's joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I think that this is one of the biggest teams of mystery in the NFL as well. You've got it with the Chicago Bears, because we all know that with Ben Johnson, he was the apple in everyone's eye. Every team that wanted a coach, they were looking at Ben Johnson. I think the lone questions that I have for the Bears is, for one, with Caleb Williams, was your number one just a byproduct of Matt Eberflus, the just lame duck head coaching position, what have you? And also with Ben Johnson, we all know that he's able to coach up offense. Is he able to be the head man? Because I do think that there is a difference between being a really great coordinator and being a really great coach.
Oh, there's a huge difference. Listen, I went to their OTAs. I was at Bears OTAs one day just because I live an hour from there and was able to just kind of pop in. And, you know, look, I'm not going to take any away from how they played on the field, because it's shoulder pads and nothing else. And guys basically run around shorts and t-shirts. But with Ben Johnson, you're right. I mean, I think sometimes people think if you're a great play designer, you're just going to automatically be a great coach. Well, if that was the case, then every coordinator in the history of the league would work out. But that's not the way this thing works. You as a head coach are managing 53 personalities plus the scout team, all your coaches, all the media, all the accommodations and the requirements to come along with some of the other stuff. Yeah, there's a lot. And I think Ben Johnson was a great hire. I think if you're the Bears, you have to be thrilled you hired Ben Johnson. But let's not make a mistake. I mean, the Bears have been an afterthought for the better part of 15 years. I do love that they rebuilt the interior of the offensive line. I think that's a big thing. Defensively, they're good. Dennis Allen is not a good head coach. He's an excellent coordinator. He's going to come in there. I think that defense will be very good. But Caleb Williams, you know, people focus on all the wrong numbers. It's always about yardage and touchdown. He took 68 sacks last year. Like, you can't win in the NFL when you're taking 68 sacks. I mean, that is four massive negative plays a game. And so, you know, some of those are on the line. Some of those are on Williams. He's got to get rid of the ball faster. He's got to go through his progressions faster. How quickly can he do that in an offense that is quarterback friendly, but also is a brand new offense for him?
Yep, I think that those are such great points that you make, and I just think that NFC North in general is going to be so intriguing, because you were talking about the Vikings being a team that has a few question marks, with them really needing to have a good process here in May and June to be able to get things all set up for a great training camp. And when I take a look at the Green Bay Packers, I see a team that could really be able to ascend as long as Jordan Love does what he did in the second half of the year and not turn the ball over as much in the first half of the year. I want to get your thoughts here, because I think that there's a real possibility that the Packers really rise up, have themselves a big year, win the NFC North, and perhaps they are the biggest challenger to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC.
It could be. To me, they're the biggest wild card in the NFC. When I look at the NFC, you know, Philly, Detroit, the Rams, to me, are three teams I think are going to be really good. I like Tampa in the South, but I think they're probably a notch below the other three. Minnesota and Green Bay are two teams I look at and go, look, there's a world where they miss the playoffs. There's a world where they're in the Super Bowl. And with Green Bay, you know, I think with with them, you look at them and go, all right, look, they drafted Matthew Golden in the first round, receiver out of Texas. Is he the number one receiver on this team at some point? Is it Jaden Reed? Is it Christian Watt? Like, who is the number one receiver on that team? Because, you know, I've gone up there a lot the last couple of years, and, you know, you always kind of hear out of Green Bay, like, well, you know, we have all these different weapons. That's great. Somebody's got to be the guy you go to on third and eight. Like, you need that. You need somebody who you can just, okay, that guy is going to be our breadwinner. And so, you know, look, I think defensively, they're good. I like to see Rashawn Gary go from being a good player to an all-pro. I think the talent's there. The secondary, I like they brought in Nate Hobbs. I think he's an underrated player. You know, he'll replace Jair Alexander. And quite frankly, Alexander's more talented, but he's never on the field. So I think it could be an upgrade for them. But yeah, Love is going to be he's going to be the big question. He's a talented kid. He's a smart kid. He's well-liked in the room. But, you know, look, at some point, you know, if you're going to get to that level where you can contend with the Philadelphia, where you can go to the NFC title game and have a shot to win, you're going to need him to play elite football. I think it's in him, but he's got to show. Right now, he's a notch below. He's in that, you know, top 10 discussion. He's on the fringe. If they're going to go deep into January or to February, he's got to get to that, you know, top 5-6 spot, you know, somewhere in that range.
I agree with you. I think that that's going to be so critical for this Green Bay Packers team. And Matt, we do have about 90 seconds remaining. I know you've been doing a great job deciphering everything in the NFL, getting set for the upcoming season. As you've been doing your research, as you've been taking a look at teams in the offseason, is there maybe a team that just the more that you look at them, the more that you research, the more that you like them?
You know, I guess I would say I think the Rams are a team that I would not be shocked if they're in the Super Bowl. Like, I just look at the Rams and I think they're loaded up front defensively. The linebackers are good. The secondary is the big question mark, but offensively, that's a team that you look at go, man, they can score on anybody. You've got Kyron Williams in the backfield, Adams and Nicole on the outside. Higbee's back now fully from the ACL. You still have Stafford. You got a good line. You got McVay. I mean, that team, I can see that team putting up a lot of points. And I think the NFC, even though the Eagles are awesome, don't get me wrong, I think it's a little more open-ended in terms of the depth, the top heaviness of the NFC. Where in the AFC, you just look at it and go, look, it's Kansas City, and it's Buffalo, and it's Baltimore. And frankly, it's Kansas City until somebody beats them. It's almost like New England all those years. You look at the Chiefs and just say, call me when someone beats this team in January in the AFC. Because until that happens, I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl every year. Nobody ever beats them. So I think the Rams are an interesting team that could make a real deep run and maybe even get to Santa Clara in February.
Yep, and the Rams, they did a nice job moving on from Aaron Donald and still being rough and tumble on defense. So love that look, Matt, and love having you aboard, my friend. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, Anthony.
Matt Verderam doing a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated looking at this great game of football. And the football discussion continues. Coming up next, we launch Greg's Random Football Roulette right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Matt Verderam, who does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of football, and it is the dog days of summer. We've got ourselves a little bit of a thinner card with regards to the baseball slate that we've got on Thursday, only 9 games, and we'll be continuing those MLB discussions and breaking down those games here in a little bit, but we do have to get you set for the upcoming NFL season. I am on a pretty remarkable run of days straight hosting this show, so I absolutely love it, by the way. Trust me, no other place in the world that I want to be right now than talking some sports, trying to find you guys some winners, and we need to try to find you guys some winners for the upcoming NFL season. There are 32 teams to break down. I believe that I'm going to be in each of the next 16 days, so we're going to do 2 teams a day that'll break down all 32 teams. You're going to get a bunch of win totals. You're going to get a bunch of teams I'm bullish on. You're going to get a few teams I'm bearish on. We're out here at Circa, so we've got to spin the roulette wheel. We're going to be doing something very interesting. I call it Greg's Random Football Roulette. We're going to be taking a look at every single team. This will be team number 1. I'm going to fire up random.org, and we're going to see where it lands. So without further ado, let's dive in. It is Greg's Football Random Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, and we go here to random.org, a website that I've used since I was a freshman in high school. We've got all 32 teams listed. We hit randomize, and we go big bucks, no whammies. If we do hit a whammy, it's going to be really hilarious. And we stop on, if you're playing a game show here, this would probably be, if you're looking at your tier of gifts, this is certainly not the car. You did not win the car on this one. You also didn't hit the whammy here. This is where you get like the gift card to insert your favorite store here for like $200. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be Duval, to quote the new coach there, and it's an interesting outlook for this team, because for the Jaguars, the big handicap is, what in the world is Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence, it looked like he was ascending. When they brought in Doug Peterson in that first year, they make the playoffs. They win a playoff game in thrilling fashion over the Chargers. And ever since then, things have went straight down the toilet bowl for this organization. Trevor Lawrence gets banged up last season. Trevor Lawrence just looks like he's not coming into form. And frankly, I thought that Trevor Lawrence was one of the most sure things coming into the NFL over the last 20 years, and he has been anything but that. And I think the big key is this new coaching staff going to be able to extract the value out of Trevor Lawrence? And additionally, what are you going to be able to get out of one of the most versatile and most unique players that we've ever seen come into the NFL in Travis Hunter? They go all in. They go with him at number two overall. I know that he's been getting some reps at corner. He's been getting some reps at wide receiver. I think that if you're looking at the position that he's best at, it's probably cornerback, because I feel like they actually need him a little bit more at cornerback. Now, you look at this wide receiver room, and it's not great. Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington, Joshua Cypress, I actually think has a little bit of upside, but yeah, it's not great. But you also look at the secondary. Darnell Savage, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I mean, that guy was burnt toast for years. He wasn't great with this team last year. You've got someone like an Eric Murray at the safety spot. The corners that you've got with like Tyson Campbell and company, yeah, that's rough. And I felt like just watching him in college, I actually did think that for Hunter, he was a little bit of a better corner. Maybe that's just me, and maybe that's my eyes deceiving me, but I think that his biggest impact could actually be on the defensive side of things. But we know that in terms of the Jaguars team, having an offensive-minded coach, they're certainly going to be looking to develop him as a wide receiver. So I think that that's a big key for the team. And I'm still a believer in Travis Etienne. Like, what I thought that the team did a really good job of was being able to team up Trevor Lawrence with his running back in college and Travis Etienne. Just turns out that Travis Etienne has been a little bit of a flopperoonie thus far in the NFL. Just was not able to get it going last year. Was a little bit banged up last year as well. So, I mean, you've got your issues on that front. This is a front seven that I still really like for the Jacksonville Jaguars, too. I mean, Josh Hines Allen is one of the better pass rushers that you're going to find in all of football. You've got Eric Armstead, who's able to do a good job of getting home. Like, this is a team that can put you under duress. Like, that's something that I do like about this team. And here's what else I like about the Jacksonville Jaguars. The fact that you know that you're going to get a few wins just from the division that they're in. Like, you take a look at the AFC South. The Houston Texans, in my opinion, are going to win this division. If the Houston Texans don't win this division, something has went horribly wrong. That said, I mean, you should be able to pick up at least one win against the Titans. You should be able to split there. You better be able to split against the Colts as well, because who knows what's happening with the Colts. Obviously, rest in peace to Mr. Irsay. You wish nothing but the best for that organization, but I mean, man, with the Jaguars right now, their win total is at 7.5. I think that's just interesting to decipher, because they should get a win week number one against the Panthers. If they don't get a win week number one against the Panthers, that's going to be setting the stage for what is going to be a no good, very bad, terrible year. Because after that, boy, things are not good. You got the Bengals, that's a loss. Then you got Houston, it's at home, but that's a loss. On the road against the 49ers, loss. I know that's at home, but against the Chiefs, loss. Then you get to the Seahawks, that's finally a winnable game for you, especially with that being at home. I know that Matt Verderam was talking about this team in the previous segment. You have to go to London to play against the Rams. That's going to be a little bit brutal. You then go on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. probably a loss, but a bit of a toss-up. On the road against the Texans, loss. You go up against the Chargers, albeit at home, most likely a loss. On the road against the Cardinals, loss. Against the Titans on the road, winnable game. Very winnable game. Against the Colts, winnable game. Against the Jets at home, winnable game. Things get easier for this team as things go along. It's just all about this team not getting frustrated because their beginning part of the season is a gauntlet. I mean, even in the late half of September, I just laid it out. On the road against the Bengals, at home against the Texans, on the road against the 49ers, going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you hold down the fort and not get frustrated in the first year of a new coach with a guy in Trevor Lawrence that needs to be able to build some confidence? That's big question mark that you got for the Jaguars. Now I'm looking at this win total. You're able to get plus 105 on the under. I would be looking at the under because outside the divisional games, I'm just not sure where the wins are going to be coming from for this team. And it's a big issue because they didn't necessarily draw the best draw in terms of their non-divisional games, in terms of their cross-divisional games, things like that. So I think that that's going to be a little bit of an issue. And additionally, with the Jacksonville Jaguars team, again, what you're going to be able to get out of Trevor Lawrence, that is a question. You know what you're going to be able to get out of these guys, though, because if you're looking to take betting to the next level, you want to do so with FirstBet. Sign up now over at FirstBet.com. That is the number one, STBet.com. And then utilize the promo code of VSIN200, VSIN200. We are in the dog days of summer. You want something to bet on. Why not bet on the ponies? You get a 20% rebate with that promo code of VSIN200 on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today over at firstbet.com. And with Trevor Lawrence, just so interesting to take a look at him as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, because I mean, up until last year, we had seen Trevor Lawrence be able to soldier through injuries, and sometimes maybe it was to his own detriment from time to time. Like, I still recall from the 2023 season, he was playing through a few injuries. Wasn't necessarily the world's most tremendous era, but I do think that with Trevor Lawrence, does he come to his own a little bit? If he doesn't under this coaching staff, I mean, then when will he? Because I think that we have to chalk up the first year as a mulligan. Like, you had Urban Meyer, who was one of the biggest flops of all flops in terms of the coaching history. Like, man, that was not great when he was staying back from riding with the team back home and he was at the place. Yeah, that's not good. And clearly there were some things going on there. So the Urban Meyer situation was not great. Then it looked like things were getting online with Peterson, who, I mean, that's a guy that won a Super Bowl in the past. It looked like things were getting on right online, and then things completely regressed. And here's a question mark with the Jaguars. What is the protection going to be with them as well? Because I take a look at this offensive line, they've been able to stick a little bit more capital in it, but still, this is an offensive line that when you take a look at it, are you putting it in the creme de la creme with regards to a lot of these other teams? Most likely not. And I felt like they need to go a little bit more offensive line heavy. That is the best friend for a quarterback, and I mean, they just really didn't do so. Drafting Antoine Harrison a few years ago was a nice little bit of a find, but I mean, man, I do feel like they need to put a little bit more capital in that line, and that could be what is really deciding this team's fate. For Trevor Lawrence, because the line is not necessarily so great, he's going to need to make some of these quick pop passes, and with having a guy like Travis Hunter, he's a little bit more of a deep threat. That is a big question mark for this team, and I do think that with the Jaguars, they're going to have maybe a little bit of a tough time establishing the run. I thought that Lawrence and ATN teaming up was going to be absolutely tremendous for this team. Has not done so. But again, they're in a division where they're going to win a few games. I just don't know where a lot of these wins come outside that division, though. So I'm looking at the under on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that they're probably a 5-6 win team. I don't think that they're a team that you take a shot on to have the worst record in the NFL. But man, in an AFC where it's going to be all sorts of brutal, we all know what you're going to be able to get in those teams out there in the AFC West. The AFC North is always brutal. They're just a cut below, and I think that this might be the worst division in all of football in the AFC South as well. So not feeling bullish about the Jaguars, feeling pretty bullish about the Thursday baseball card. We're going to look to find you guys some winners on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hopefully you liked the first of the 32 teams I have to break down with the NFL roulette wheel of teams that we are going to be taking a look at. Greg's NFL random roulette is on, and you're going to be getting another team preview in hour number two. I don't know who it's going to be because it's completely picked by random by random.org, but you know what? Had some fun talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, so we're going to have ourselves a tremendous NFL season, but we have to take a look at what we're going to be getting on Thursday, because the one bad thing about football is that it has not started quite yet. We still do have a few months until we're going to get NFL games back in our lives, but we've got ourselves plenty of baseball, and we have a little bit of a thinner slate that is going to be coming up here on this Thursday, but we do have some fun ones, and if you're looking at the schedule, by the way, just a little bit of a word to the wise, get your bets in early, because we've got one game that is an actual night game. That would be between the Braves and the Mets. Everything else starts before 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So we're going to have a lot of day baseball, not so much night baseball, but this one is a fun one out there in Cleveland. How about if we go 961, 962 on the card? It is the Guardians, and they play also the Toronto Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman is on the bump for the Jays, and Tanner Bibee goes for Cleveland. Total on game is 8, shaded down to the under. It actually opened up at an 8.5, so we have seen a sharp move to the under end with the Cleveland Guardians. Right around about a pick'em, maybe a slight favorite between -105 to a -112, right in that neighborhood, -102, -108, that number on the Toronto Blue Jays. And when it comes to this Cleveland Guardians team, I do feel like they should be a little bit more of a favorite. Set them at -123, so I'm going to be willing to roll with them on the money line. For Tanner Bibee, he has been a completely different pitcher when he has been at home rather than when he has been on the road. For Tanner Bibee, when he has been on the road, he's got north of a 4.5 ERA. He's giving up just under 2 home runs per 9 innings, 0.75 home runs allowed per 9 innings with a ERA that goes down to about 2.50 at home. So he's been able to do his best work at Cleveland, and Cleveland is typically a little bit more of a pitcher's ballpark, and for Cleveland, they've had a tough time being able to develop the offense. They're in the bottom eight in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, and it is because of the, shall we say, top heaviness of this bunch, as you've been able to have for the Cleveland Guardians a guy in Jose Ramirez be able to give you 13 plus home runs, doing a nice job being able to pound the ball at the yard. You've also been able to have Stephen Kwan hitting above a 300. Even Carlos Santana, even though the average and the power isn't the world's greatest, at the very least gets on base. 340 on base, but we've got so many guys for this bunch that have been at the bottom of the lineup that haven't been able to pan out. Like, they had to send Brian Rocchio and John Kensie Noel down to the minor league level because they were not panning out. Likes of Nolan Jones, Bo Naylor, throw in there some of your guys like Will Wilson, a whole bunch of guys hitting at 220 or lower. Like, Kyle Manzardo is hitting about a 220, but even though he's giving you a double-figure amount of homers, that on-base percentage being below 300, that doesn't do you a ton of good. And on the flip side for the Blue Jays, they're a bunch that doesn't have a lot of power. They're in the bottom seven in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per-at-bat basis. You've been able to have a trio of guys, Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr., be able to give you 10-plus home runs thus far this season, and then you're able to throw in there as well. George Springer has been able to give you a 350 on base. He's up to 11 home runs as well, but a lot of guys are able to move line. Like, even a Nathaniel Lux has been able to give you about a 345, 350 on base. Don't call his name. Alexander Kirk has been able to hit a 300. So you've got guys that are getting on base, but they just strand a lot of men on base because they don't necessarily have a ton of power. And it's a big reason why they're averaging about 3.6 runs per game away from home. Only the Chicago White Sox have fewer than that. And I think that makes the pitching matchup all the more intriguing, because you got Kevin Gausman coming in really rough form, a 4.60 ERA. He is giving up north of 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. That fielding independent being at 3.85, though, does lead to a little bit of optimism. He's giving up 2.5 walks, darn near about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. I think that we should see a little bit of positive regression with him going up against a team that has been a little bit rough in terms of the offense, but in the end, I do believe that the Cleveland Guardians have a little bit more in terms of their bullpen. It was a very brutal start to the season for them with regards to their bullpen, with having Emmanuel Clase blowing so many saves and everything like that. But, and this has been a team that's been able to find their way. You still have someone like a Cade Smith, who's giving you north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Hunter Gaddis has been able to give you sub 3.5 ERA. And for the Blue Jays, you've seen Mason Fluharty just completely blow up 5 ERA. Chad Green has not been great in this bullpen. Yoriel Rodriguez is a relatively good long guy, but in the end, I do think that the Guardians should be a bit of a favorite at home. I think that they get the job done. I do like them on the money line up to right around about a minus 123, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under. Set my total at a 7.7, as this is cashing out with myself, Greg Eubes Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got ourselves a lot of fun that is happening in this baseball season, and you're able to catch it all if you decide to come out here to Circa, because we've got, obviously, the big giant TVs and Stadium Swim. It is such a vibe, and we're able to get you one of the best packages that you're going to find in terms of a resort stay. You get for $400 a nice resort stay, two nights here over at Circa, and they cover all the fees, because trust me, they get you with those resort fees and all the taxes. So I mean, that right there is a good deal. But then you get a $100 dining credit, so that's $100 back in your pocket, a $100 beverage credit, another $100 back in your pocket, and watch those baseball games all day long on your own day bed over at Stadium Swim. Absolutely tremendous deal right here. $400. It's the all-in summer special over at CircaLasVegas.com. It's on all summer long. This runs through September 4th, so get in on that all-in summer hotel package over at CircaLasVegas.com. As it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and how about if we take a look at some more day baseball, because I absolutely do love day baseball, and you just saw this game wrap up with the LA Dodgers getting the job done against the Colorado Rockies on Wednesday by a count of 8-1. A little bit of a long rain delay there, so it's going to be no rest for the weary, as that game wraps up right around about 10:30 or so Mountain Time, and now they're going to have to play at 1:10 Mountain Time for this one. So, bit of a tight turnaround between the Dodgers and the Rockies. This is 9:53 and 9:54 on the card, and Austin Gomber hopes to not get gombered up by the LA Dodgers. He goes for the Rockies, and Clayton Kershaw, the ageless wonder, on the bump for the Dodgers. Total on this game opens up at 11.5. It is now up to a 12. And for the Dodgers, boy, you're going to be laying some juice here. Right now, between minus 280 to minus 285, the run line prices are hilarious, too. Like, to lay 2.5 runs right now with the LA Dodgers here at Circa is minus 135. To lay 1.5 runs in a lot of places is anywhere between minus 185 to minus $2. I think it's rightfully so, though. Like, I mean, the Colorado Rockies have played a little bit better here in the month of June. This is still a sad and deplorable team, though. And their wins have come against the Washington Nationals and the Miami Marlins. They had one win against the Atlanta Braves, and they've honestly been winning fewer games at home rather than on the road. They're 18-61 right now. 18-61. This team is on pace for 37 wins this season. Like, at some point, we just need to look at things and be like, yeah, not great for the Colorado Rockies, to say the least. And for Austin Gomber, his last start, not great. He actually goes out there, first start of the season, he went 5 scoreless innings, and then he gives up a 9 spot in his first start in Colorado, and he's always been a much better pitcher at home rather than on the road. Now, that makes sense. You're pitching at elevation at Coors Field, and that's a little bit of an issue, but I mean, career north of 5 ERA at Coors, that's not tremendous, to say the least. And then on the flip side, you've got a guy in Clayton Kershaw who he's been getting better. Like, I think that that's the best way of putting it. The swing and miss stuff is not where Clayton Kershaw would like it to be. He's getting fewer than 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but for lack of a better term, he's working with what he's got, and he's at a very advanced age. He's north of 37 years old, so I mean, that's a little bit of an issue for you there. But that said, for Clayton Kershaw, he's been able to go out there and he's given up 2 earned runs or fewer in now 4 of his last 5 starts, with the lone exception being the 3 runs they gave up to a rock solid Mets team. He's backed up by a bullpen that didn't need to utilize their best pieces on Wednesday. They did have Yoshinobu Yamamoto get pulled after 58 pitches. That was merely because he had a long rain delay. That wasn't because of anything that Yamamoto was doing or anything like that. And for Clayton Kershaw, you're backed up by the best offense in all of baseball right now for the LA Dodgers, averaging about 5.7 runs per contest. Shohei Ohtani continues to do Shohei Ohtani things, 27 plus home runs. Max Muncy, after a brutal start to the season, he's now giving you north of 370 on base. He hits a grand slam in the game on Wednesday. Heck, it's been a bad year for Michael Conforto. He even went yard against this Colorado Rockies team. Like, it's like when Oprah was giving out free cars. Right now, it's you get a home run. You get a home run for all the opponents that are going on over to Coors Field right now. And for the Colorado Rockies offense, averaging 4.2 runs per game at elevation. Like, they're in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game at home at elevation. Coors Field is supposed to be the cheat code for offense. It is the highest ballpark factor in terms of elevating offense. It's just not doing so for this team. I think it's really interesting that Hunter Goodman this year has 14 home runs for the Colorado Rockies, and north of two-thirds of them have come on the road this season. Now, Jordan Beck has been able to move the line. You've got Mickey Moniak, who at home has 6-plus home runs. He's been able to do a solid job. And this has been a Colorado Rockies bullpen that is not the world's worst. And that's about as good as I can say for them, because you do have these guys like Victor Vodnik, Jake Bird, Jimmy Herget, who will be able to give you a sub-4 ERA. So I think that the Colorado Rockies do just enough to be able to keep this total under. I set my total 11.6, but I am not going to be taking anything with the Colorado Rockies. Right now, I'm looking to lay 2.5 runs with the Dodgers right around minus 130, minus 135. And coming up next, let's recap what we saw in round 1 of the NBA draft right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.